Thank you for tuning in this evening and spending some time with us. If you've missed any part of tonight's show, shame on you. It's been a wild ride. Christine Della Parker, our guest, has been burdened with a very unusual situation. She claims that cryptids, Bigfoot, dogmen, some creatures are stalking her family home and creating a nightmarish hell for her and her family. We've heard some audio that she has on her website. You can check that out at 100bigfootnights.com. And we also have links to that and her books up at our site, coasttocoastam.com. Go check that out, coasttocoastam.com. You can find links to some of the video footage, photographic evidence, and audio that she has up on her site. I've talked to her in the last segment and told Christine that I personally would be interested in investigating this case with some of the experts I know in the field that take this the science of this very seriously, and bringing in things like thermal cameras, bringing in UV cameras, bringing in very high-tech audio equipment so that we can get much clearer audio, getting in some animal experts that might understand what the noises is that we're hearing. I'd also love to rebombard the area with the noises she has already recorded to see if we get any kind of call back from these creatures. What are your thoughts on this? We'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open. You can give us a call and spend a little time with us here. We've got open phone lines for the next 2 hours. Our guest will remain with us for this hour to take your questions. And if you've had any other relatable experiences similar to this you'd like to weigh in on, you can give us a call and be a part of the show. We're going to take a break. While we're doing that, go check out coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast Insider. There you'll be able to sign up, and it's really 15 cents a day. You can't go wrong. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Over 5 years of past archives of Coast to Coast AM. You get great information, news. You get live chats with the hosts and some of the great guests you hear on the show. Again, check it out. Become a Coast Insider. And don't forget, right now, for 30 days, it is free to see Beyond Belief with George Norrie. There are links on the website at Coast to Coast AM, or go to beyondbelief.com. I think you definitely want to check that out for yourself, beyondbelief.com with George Norrie, and see his show free for 30 days. Go check that out. We'll take a break. We'll take your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. 100 Bigfoot Nights, a chilling true story. Our guest this evening, Christine Della Parker, has agreed to stay on for the next hour. We'll take your calls. Christine, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, let's start with East of the Rockies, Diane in Canada. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks a lot for calling in. What did you want to talk about this evening?
I was going to say, Christine kind of answered my questions there. When we lived, I worked at a Charleston, and we lived in Somerville, South Carolina. We actually took a bridge right across to an island there where they had a nuclear sub that you could tour, mm-hmm. as well as a nuclear craft, I guess. It was a ship that had airplanes on it and a nuclear sub or whatever. But we had friends that were still touring this thing, and my son and I happened to go to the car, and we were sitting, the car was parked by a dumpster. And I raised shepherds for years, but this big thing was in the dumpster, and my son looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, what do you think it is? And he said, well, we're not in Africa. But now that she mentioned, you know, hyena, yeah, that is what we've seen. So we were kind of thinking whether it got out of a zoo or whether somebody raised these things, whether they were legal, you know, legal to have in South Carolina. We didn't know. But I know she had mentioned she was from the South, eh?
Yeah.
Right. And you've seen what you thought was a hyena as well, Diane?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was in a dumpster. It was standing up. It was eating out of the dumpster right by the ship in the submarine, the place where you had toured the things. And our car was right beside it. So, I mean, distance-wise, boy, it wasn't too far from the car. You could make it out perfectly.
Wow. Interesting. All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot
for
giving us a call.
I wouldn't say it was a Bigfoot or anything. It was definitely a hyena.
Well, that's even more rare to see just running about. I mean, we've heard more encounters of Bigfoot than I have of hyena-like creatures roaming around in the United States.
Well, that stuck out in my mind for quite a while, and I kind of thought, well, maybe it got out of a zoo, or maybe it was legal to own them down there. Like, I didn't really know, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But for all your listeners out there, I'm going to tell them something great about Canada while I'm on the phone here. We live in Saskatchewan, uh-huh. and we have a we don't own it ourselves, but we have a place called Manitou Springs, which is Dead Sea of Canada. We actually have a lake, which is like the Dead Sea, where you can actually go in the lake and you can go to sleep and float around the lake all day. We actually have a big mineral spa there. It's one of the top 15 in North America. And people come from all over the world to see the mineral spa. So maybe check into that on your computer.
All right. Thank you very much for the insight on that. Let's. I got to ask you, Christine, and a lot of the people, Ariel and some of the other people that have written into me tonight have said, why didn't you call the police if you thought you had a peeping Tom, if you thought that there was something looking in your windows or maybe it was one of your creepy neighbors?
Because I live with four men. And so your thought isn't, well, let's call the police and, you know, bring them out.
Maybe your thought isn't that. I mean, here's the deal. You do understand that when there's somebody stalking and peeking in windows, they may be armed. And it doesn't matter if you have four men or eight men in the house. If this person is intent on hurting you and your family and getting a feel for your routines and when there may only be one man or two men there instead of four, I mean, that seems like a danger people would call in about.
Yeah, you would think about that. Now that I think about it, yeah, you would probably think that. But we used to live on military installations, mm-hmm. military bases our whole lives. So I think we have a false sense of security. You know,
well, I would encourage you to pick up a couple books on serial killers, on these anthology books where they talk about serial killers and how they pick their victims. There were a number of them that picked the victims simply by the fact the house was unlocked or that they could get easy access to these places. So you and any one of the listeners out there that thinks it's still okay in 2015 to leave doors unlocked and leave these areas like this and just feel safe in your neighborhood because you're in an area where, you know, it's not Detroit, it's not Chicago, it's not
right.
LA where you might
right.
feel more unnerved. Everybody should be a little bit more cautious. Let's
yeah,
go.
I think there's a lot of lessons learned.
Obviously.
A lot of lessons learned.
West of the Rockies, Brother Jonathan in California. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dad, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for calling in. What's your question here?
This lady, I hope you're well. I want to thank you for letting me be on the air. I'm a repentant, Jesus name baptized, Holy Ghost filled Christian, and the only time I've ever heard those scary sounds that you played tonight over the show was once the tape that Art Bell played when they found the sounds from hell in Siberia, and a personal, as a cleanser exorcist, a personal experience I had hearing those same sounds in person. That is a demonic satyr. They pronounce it, spell it S-A-T-Y-R. So, lady, please, if you believe on Jesus, anoint your doors, your mirrors, and your windows with oil in Jesus' name or ointment preferred, and pray like crazy because what it sounds like, Bigfoot versus the devil in the woods. And remember, being repentant, Jesus' name baptized, Holy Ghost filled, as according to Acts 2:38. We love you. You're in our prayers. You're a magnificently brave woman. I only have one question. When you hear these sounds, does it come to mind to you to pray the Lord's name, and does that calm it down, or do things get worse?
No, I try not to. I know this is going to sound strange, but some of the sounds that we hear and some of the talking and the recordings and stuff, I mean, it's really out there, and it literally shakes your soul. But I try not to dwell into that because I figure if once you open a door, it's open. And I try not to go that route and open that door.
You've already opened the door, Christine, and thank you for calling in, Brother Jonathan. You've already opened that door. You've already been a part of this experience, and they're already stalking you. I think it's an intriguing angle that we've heard encounters with aliens where aliens have been shunned away by evoking the name of Jesus Christ. It'd be interesting to see what happens if you start hearing these noises, and I don't know if you're a religious person, but it'd be interesting to see how these react to prayer. You know, I wonder what would happen. It was disturbing audio, whatever we listened to earlier. It was definitely a weird piece of audio, and you can find that on her website at 100bigfootnights.com. If you felt this much danger, why not dump the house and move?
Well, we've been trying to do that. We've been trying to get the house sold and get out of the area, but it's more difficult than it sounds. For one thing, it's very difficult when you're up all the time and you're trying to get something ready and you have to be alert and awake during the day to handle things. It can get to be a lot. We thought about walking away from the house and just leaving, you know, just exiting. And I thought about that seriously in, when it first began, when I first found out they were the dogmen that were in that forest during the day. I know they saw me, and I know they know that I was trying to film them. And I was not functioning at the time, of course, you know, with everything going on. And I was in a bad way, in a bad state, seeing them and watching them and watching the things. It really puts you in a bad way. I mean, you literally can't function. And we thought about just leaving and just walking away from it. Then I thought about it, and I thought, okay, so we leave tomorrow. Let me just put it in my mind. We're out of here tomorrow. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen? And I couldn't recover from it. It was like I was so afraid. I was living in so much fear. It was like walking around as like a zombie. You can't function. You can't function with the world around you because your entire concept of the world changes. Your entire belief system's changed. And after you see something like that and something so horrible and experience it, there's no place you could go. There's no outlet for you. There's no, all the prayers in the world aren't going to help you. And the fear was paralyzing, just paralyzing. I would be crying and just couldn't sleep and nightmares. And it was torture. And I thought, if I left tomorrow, would I be any better off? Like, would I go to a place that I would feel safe or feel like, you know, that I would be able to function again, you know? But it just didn't seem possible. I had to deal with it. It's like you have to deal with the fear. You have to deal with this, or you can't move forward in your life. There's no moving forward. There's nowhere to go. So I thought, no, I need to deal with this. I need to face this fear and work through it. And it was a tough decision to make.
But how's that working for you, Christine? It's been years, and these things continue to stalk you and haunt you and terrorize you. I mean, obviously, your way isn't working either.
No, it's not. But I'm able to communicate. I'm able to talk. I'm able to function. I'm able to go shopping again, you know, go out, come home. I'm able to live some type of a normal life, even though we're trying to get out of here. And we've done as much as we can to protect ourselves. We put cameras back to back all the way around the house now. So the camera, one camera hitting the next camera, hitting the next camera, hitting the next camera. We built a perimeter around the entire front of the house and the side of the house. Any means.
How have you not caught clear video footage?
I'm sorry?
I mean, if they're coming up to your house and trying to get in, how have you not captured better video footage of them?
I have no idea. I have no idea. In the beginning, we would be moving the cameras, you know, move at this angle. Where are they coming from? They sounded like they were right on the porch. How could they be getting close to the house? We try to shoot the cameras at the house a few times. But the lights on the outside, when they activate, they blind the cameras. They glare them out. So you have to use these cameras. Use that. I mean, it's been a mess trying to keep them away and trying
Bob
to
figure
out where they're coming from.
Bob V. has emailed in to me and suggested, have you ever reached out to a Native American tribe in your area and let them know what's happening? Sometimes
no.
They have a great way of settling down the spirits of the area. Is that something you would be open to as well?
Well, I've had a few of the tribes email me, you know, on YouTube, and they've identified the howling and told me it's a Taka, Mimi, or I don't know what they call it. They call it a different name.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a few of that. I was hoping for more input on the YouTubes, you know, more advice or more people that with knowledge to let me know. But no,
I think the main problem you're going to run into is so many skeptics out there about this that it's hard to give advice when they think that you're full of baloney.
Right.
Yeah. They're just going on and mocking or looking at it. And again, that's why I said in this kind of situation, you know, there was a number of years ago, I was driving home myself and I heard on Coast to Coast AM, they were interviewing a gentleman named James Gilland out in Trout Lake, Washington, and he talked about the UFOs that were seen over his property and that if you came out on a clear night, you had a 90 to 95% chance of seeing something. And when you get that kind of challenge thrown before you, I felt like I'd be remiss if I didn't just show up, and I did. I showed up on his doorstep, and he allowed me to hang out on his property for 3 days, and I saw some of the most insane things I've ever seen in my life. So with your opportunity and allowing me to come out there and bring some experts with, I definitely will do that, and we'll also try to experience it and see if we can report back. And I am taking I've got a lot of advice, people telling me how they react when they understand and know that they're being hunted or that they're being watched. So we'll take into effect a lot of the different aspects of that. Let's go to wild card line one. We've got Annie in Alabama. Annie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's best not to mention Bigfoot if you want an expert to help you identify an animal.
Right.
I have three questions. Why should anybody be able to see in your windows, because nobody can see in mine? I've got the proper curtains. They're very thick blackout curtains. And number two is, why should there be a train in the background? Is that the best recording you have? And number three is, there's a place in Alabama called Auburn University, and they have numerous departments that help people identify plants and animals. And we have the zoology department and the cooperative extension service. And if you tried a university like that.
Well, Annie, let me answer you about the audio. She has many different forms of audio on her site. We just chose that one because, to me, that screeching, screaming thing sounded really chilling. And I wanted people to kind of hear that. It sounded different than a lot of the Bigfoot cries I've heard in the past, which oftentimes sound like coyotes or wolves howling at the moon. Thank you for calling in. What about that? I mean, is first of all, they're trying to peek in your windows. I don't know, you know, what kind, if it matters what kind of curtains they're going to look or try to look anyway. But have you reached out to any of the colleges to see if they can give you any insight?
I did contact a few people, and they kept saying they would get back with me, and they were busy touring and busy mm-hmm. doing this and doing that, and I gave up. You know, you contact people, you just eventually give up when you're trying to tell someone and you're not getting any help.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you just give up and you say, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to do what I want to do, you know. You can't depend on other people to protect you or other people to listen to you all the time. You know, that's not what it's about. It's not about that. It's about we have a problem, a serious problem. And we need help. And you're trying to get help for a problem that no one can solve. And that's the issue. And as far as our windows go, Annie, yes, I do have blackout curtains and blinds. I have both on my house. So, no, you can't see nothing in here at night.
But it doesn't mean they're going to stop trying to look in.
It doesn't mean they're going
right.
to stop. I don't. They're very curious. They're curious creatures. They notice change. They notice if something's
right.
different or out of place or odd, and they're very curious.
We've got about a minute left, Christine. I need to know, quite a few people have hit me with the same question. Why don't you reveal the name of the investigator that came?
I haven't asked him if I can do that, and I'm sure he won't mind, you know, if I did, but I would have to talk to him first and ask him.
And as an investigator, he feels that there's enough evidence to prove that there is a Bigfoot there or some kind of cryptid that does not fit natural creatures that should be in the woods. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. He said he's been investigating for 25 years. He's got multiple reports on the Internet that he goes by a pseudoname. He is very credible, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He is local.
Well, why hasn't he brought this to the news and tried to get some information going on it?
As far as I know, okay, I don't know why, but as far as I know, they map these things. They map them. They give information on where they are, their locations, and stuff like that, for whatever reason. But there's nothing they can do about them. They just
All
map
right.
them and for information. They collect information. That's what they do.
Let's take our bottom of the hour break. We'll continue taking your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Christine Della Parker, my guest this evening, 100 Bigfoot Nights. A chilling true story. That's the topic. And we're taking your phone calls if you've had experiences of your own that mirror the stories we've heard this evening or questions for our guest. Give us a call. Let's go west of the Rockies, Jeff in Alaska. Welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, hello there, Dave and Mrs. Dela Porter.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just mention that encounter with my family up in the Arctic.
Okay.
Very well-known, documented incident. And a couple of things. I can tell you that dogs will not go out of a house if you have a Sasquatch in the area. There's absolutely no way that you could force a dog out. You'll push him out, but he'll come back in before the door is closed. But I could say that a couple of observations. I know something happened to you there, but I just have a tough time with the fact that a house in that condition in that summer would. One of the things, the car batteries, I don't know about that, but you mentioned that you had a swimming pool, correct?
That's correct.
I know for a fact that it doesn't matter what state you're in, be it the north, especially the south, if you got a swimming pool, you're going to have a security fence by law around that yard. And you seem to have removed a lot of trees, but anyways, you kind of stumbled there when you were asked about Tom Biscardi. You kind of skirted around it, and you knew you were going to go on the air, and you would think that you would have contacted these so-called investigators to get permission to elaborate your story. And
well, let me clarify that. Our investigator, the gentleman that came to our house that's been on the case, he is well known. And if I were to mention who he is, since he is a local investigator, he would immediately know the area, immediately know where he's investigating. That's number
one. Well, again, you would have, I would think that you would have at least contacted him and said, hey, I'm going on the show. But anyway, you know, that's beside the point. But I know Tom Biscardi personally, and enough said. But anyway, I can tell you from firsthand experience, our cabin, family cabin, is north of the Arctic Circle and 30 miles from the nearest neighbor at the time. And there ain't no, I don't care how tough you are, I've had guys come up and say, oh, I'll go outside of your cabin at night. Army vets, Rangers, you name it. Not a single one would take me up on my bet. You couldn't pay me $10,000 to go out of my cabin door, let alone go into the woods. And I wouldn't buy the book. I just don't buy the story. Like I said, you skirted questions about the pool. The of the house. I'm sure you might something that happened there, but I hate to say it. It just sounds like you're just trying to sell books. And
all right, Jeff, thank you for what. Oh, go ahead.
Let me answer him. The books cover a period of time. It's a year and a half. So it's not like these incidents are happening back to back to back. It's a year and a half. And if you read the books, you will see that everything is dated and timed in chronological order. Everything that occurs is a pattern, and it is occurring as these events are happening. And going on the radio and trying to describe it in 2 hours or 3 hours is literally impossible. That's why the books were necessary, because in order to understand what we're going through and all that has happened to us, it's in there for you to read and absorb, and then you decide. But it is not literally, oh, yes, we have a Bigfoot, and this is what's happening. It's got dates, times, events, and there are other people involved in the story that if you read the books, you will find how it all makes sense. I'm trying to describe something that's happened in over, it's been 2.5 years now, almost 2.5 years, and to a year and a half, and it's just not working. You know, it doesn't, I would need literally days on the air to go through all the events as they're occurring. So I would suggest that, you know, you read the books and then find out exactly what's happening.
All right, let's take a break.
That's how I would answer that.
We'll come back. We've got more calls, more things to cover with our guest, and talk about her experiences with what she believes is a Bigfoot. Stay tuned. More Coast to Coast AM right after this. Christine, you understand the high level of skepticism from the audience, right? I mean, I know it can be tough when you've lived this experience and believe what's going on around you. It can be tough to hear people question it. But, I mean, you do understand from the outside look how this just, the high strangeness of this just sounds so hard to swallow.
Yeah, I understand that. That's why the books are important.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you read the book, you will understand how all this is occurring and how it all happened. To explain it is difficult. And I knew that this would be, the scenario would be, explain to us. You have a Bigfoot, okay, whatever. So that's why the books are important. Because they tell the story as it occurs. The dates, the times, the events, and as it's moving along. And that answers all the questions people have on the audio, the video. Everything's dated and timed as it's happening. So, yeah, I understand how it would be difficult. But what I don't understand is that I'm not just providing you with books. I'm providing audio and video and photographs, and it's a little odd to me that I get questioned because I don't hold, you know, maybe several PhDs, whereas, you know, people tell stories all the time of one sighting or two sightings or write books all the time where they're not experiencing or living through something, and no one questions them, and that is a little odd to me, but I only know what we're going through and what's happening to us, and I can only tell the story as it occurs, and I can only record what I am recording, and I'm not an expert on these creatures. I am not an expert on any of them. All I know is what we see, what we hear, and what's happening to us. That's all the book tells you. That's all the story tells you.
Kelly in Idaho has emailed me and says she'd like to know, do you believe that the Bigfoot or the creatures had gotten into your house in between the time the other owners owned it and you did, that did all the damage interior to the home?
I don't know that for a fact. I can't say that for a fact. But I would say something strange happened in this house. I don't, like I said, I'm not an expert on these creatures. I don't know, but I do know that the investigator told me when I explained to him all the damage, he kept saying, oh, no, oh, no. Now, he is a person that is well-read on Bigfoot, well-read on any book and anything that is released. He also belongs to an organization where they meet online, I guess once a month or whatever. It's called a World Organization. And the photographs that I had of the footprints around the pool, he submitted them to the World Organization one night, and they decided what that was, not me. And he got back with me the next day after he sent it through his people or whoever he communicates with. And he deals with a wide range of whoever's privileged to be on that phone call or on that line. I have no idea who they are. But he indicated that he had read or heard something or something like this had occurred before. I never got back with him, and he never got back with me on it, and I didn't want to know. But he is the person that has the most knowledge. They don't tell you anything as they go through their investigation. You tell them, and then they either confirm it or say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And when you hear, yeah, I know what you're talking about, that's really disturbing. because you're thinking, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell us this? Why are we doing this blindly? You know, we're fumbling along, and we're having these things happening to us. And, you know, he has all the knowledge in the world about what could happen. And as things are happening, then it's like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, that happens. Oh, yeah, that happens. But they don't tell you anything. I think it's because they don't want to put any ideas in your head, or they don't want you creating anything or telling them something that's not true. So you have to tell them, and then they confirm it. That's how they operate, or that's how mine operated. And
all right. Let's grab a couple more calls here. Wildcard line 2, Brenda in Texas, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to tell us a little story about, we have a family of Bigfoot that live around us, right in our house. And they've been there, I know, because we built the house in 94. So they've been there with us since then. The only thing that we didn't know what was going on until just a few years ago, and they've hit on the house and threw rocks. I've heard them talking. My husband, the first time I heard them talking, people thought I was crazy, and I said, okay, but I know what I heard. And I've heard them, the yells. I've heard them walking out in the out close to the house, and my husband, the second time we heard them walking, he even heard them.
Wow.
So they're all around us, and my son put cameras out below his house and got some on camera, but they've never tried to hurt us. We've never seen them up at our house. But I've never put any cameras out there at the house either.
Yeah.
But.
And do you feel frightened at all, Brenda? Do you feel frightened by what's around you?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. I wouldn't go out there at the age that I am now. Probably 20 years ago, if I'd have realized what it was, I might have went out a little bit and investigated. I have put up feed buckets, and they have taken some stuff out of it. And around Father's Day last year, our neighbor was coming through right where our property meets the edge of the road, and it walked out in front of her. And it scared her so bad she won't talk about it. But we know that there's three of them. We know that last year they had a baby. He's 2 years old now. So we know they had a baby.
Brenda, you realize that there are TV production crews and scientific organizations that would pay you huge amounts of money to turn in this information. And if it's truly going on around you, why aren't you taking advantage of that?
Well, we have someone coming out to investigate. At first, we found the house that they were living in. My husband and I didn't know what it was, and I thought, you know, he kind of joked at me about it being a, you know, some other kind of animal. And at that time, we didn't realize it was a Bigfoot. But we found it up dead. Now, since then, our property had a fire, so it burnt down. But we moved a mile and a half from where we knew they were over in another house, and we bought some land. And when I moved over there, I thought, whoop, we left Bigfoot over there. Little did we know that we were just coming into a family of them. You know, and they've been outside. In fact, I heard one walking. I wasn't sure what it was, and I was sitting on the porch, and like that caller before said, if you've got dogs, they're not going to bark, and they're going to try to get in the house. And we're the one that was walking. I had 6 Yorkies in a pen, and not one of them said a word. And I hollered out a name. I thought, what is that walking? So I hollered out a name, and it didn't hear me. But the second time I got louder, it did stop. Just did stop. And then the next time it walked out through there about a year or two later, my husband heard it. I had him to come to the door and listen, and he heard it. But they don't hurt us. They come up, they beat on my house. The last time that one beat on our house was last Christmas, and the next morning my son and grandson were walking down from their house, and they found where the footprints were in the sand because it had just rained right there a day before Christmas. And we've got pictures before we could even, I wasn't there, so they didn't think about getting molded. but they've never heard us. I've heard them talking, and you know, you can't make out what they're saying, but you can, you know that they're voices, you know they're talking. And before I realized all this was going on, the way we started watching Finding Bigfoot, and my husband and I started putting all these pieces together. And we said, oh no, we thought we left the Bigfoot on the other side of the road. And one thing that scared me the most was one night we were going out about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I smelled this awful smell, horrible. And I told my husband, I said, why did you throw something dead out here by these trees? It's awful. And he said, I didn't throw anything out here. Just come on, let's get in the car and go. So I climbed up in the car, and the job that we had to do took about 4 hours. So we came back, and I got out, and I started smelling. And I said, he said, come on, get in the house. You know, it's dark. And I said, well, smell. The smell's gone. And then it hit me all of a sudden. Oh, my goodness, that was a Bigfoot standing right here. So he either was standing around by us or he had just passed, because the stink of it was bad, really bad. But they never tried to hurt us. When they banged on the house last Christmas, it woke my husband up from a deep sleep, and it scared him so bad that he got up and got the gun and started checking the doors to see if anything had busted in the door. And but they never tried to hurt us.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you, Brenda. We appreciate the call in. If these creatures seem to respond better when you leave them tributes and food and things, why aren't you just throwing, you know, a box of Nutri-Grain bars out there for them, you know, every morning just to keep them placated and happy, and then have them stop messing with you?
No, because for us, first of all, I'm so sorry for Brenda. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I know how that feels. And it's not always about for 15 minutes of fame. It's not always about, you know, selling things and doing things, because it's not a game. It's not a television show. It's not. This is real life, and this is what real people are going through. And it's not for entertainment per se purposes. And, you know, I just, you know, I know you told her, well, you could sell this and do this and that, but Bigfoots are real. They exist, and they're here, and I've seen them. So it's not about that. It's not about trying to find a Bigfoot. I don't know why there are shows trying to find Bigfoot when they're real. You know, I don't know why the mystery continues. It must continue for some purpose.
Well, the reason why, I think, Christine, is because not everybody has had that experience. We can see all of these other creatures in the zoo or in photographs or in museum stuff. I mean, there's no proof, physical proof, that these creatures exist. We're not finding bodies. We're not finding poop. We're not finding hair that can be shown that does not come from any known creature. There just hasn't been enough empirical proof. So why are they continually seeking it? Because until they're found, they will always remain a mystery until we can actually prove it.
Yeah, but you have people like me. You have people like Brenda. You have people
sure.
that this is happening to.
But we also have people like Rick Dyer, who every 2 or 3 years comes forward with some hoax and claim of a Bigfoot and brings a lot of money in and tells people he's got it frozen in a block of ice and charges $20 for people to walk through a trailer to see it. And then you find out it's a gorilla costume stuffed with animal entrails. So there are people like you that are experiencing these things. And then there are people like Rick. And sometimes it gets the lines are blurred. It's hard to tell who's out trying to turn a book, because there are so many people involved in the field that is what's going on. That's why I'm always curious when people actually have this. Wouldn't it be better for these creatures if we, in fact, prove that they exist so that we can put them on endangered species lists? We can, okay, now we know they're there. Let's get them taken care of.
Well, let me ask you a question. What would you consider proof? Like, what do you consider proof? What, like you said, the guy had a fake body running around with it. I've had photos and audio and video and footprints. And I mean, what do
Christine, we're up at the top of the hour. I know I only asked you to stay in here. We've got a ton of calls still hanging on. Would you be willing to hang with us for a little bit longer, or do you need to go?
Oh, no, I don't need to go anywhere.
All right, Christine is going to stay with us. Christine Parker, we'll continue taking your calls. Call us up, be a part of the show. We'll be back with more Coast to Coast AM right after this.